Well, I'm kind of feeling like I just want to share a little bit of my heart with you today, and I'm kind of thinking that maybe somebody here might want to share a little bit of their heart today too after I share a little bit of my heart. I don't have any notes planned. As you see, there's a blank page on your note page where there are usually where there's usually a sweet, nice little outline. I really felt like I wanted to go a different direction today, and I'll just start from Monday morning. We have worship here at 10 a.m., and it's really informal. There's only about, you know, 7 to 10 who come usually, who don't work during that time frame, and so they are able to come. And I just basically sit at the piano and sing and worship for about half an hour. And then after that, we pray together in whatever direction we feel like God is leading us to pray. And on Monday, I was up there, and I was singing the song, Never Run Dry. Remember the song that says, deserts will bloom in the light of your love. Valleys make room for the river of God. You never run dry. Remember that one? I was singing that up there, and I felt like the Lord said, just in his sweet, sweet inner prompting way, Sandy, do you really believe that? I was like, well, yes. I felt like Peter. Yes, I love you. Of course, I believe that, you know. And he said, then why do you scramble so hard to get out of the deserts and valleys? Why are you trying to get out of the valleys and the deserts so fast then? If you really, really believe that, why are you always fighting me when you're in a valley or you're in a desert? And he didn't say it. It's amazing. You know, God can put his finger on something and it doesn't feel like condemnation and guilt. It feels like a loving, tender reminder. Just like you would say to a child, hey, don't put your finger in that socket. It will hurt you. That's what it feels like. It feels like a, and I was like, wow, I don't know. I don't know why I fight so much to get out of the deserts and valleys. And so I just surrendered there during our time. I don't even think I said anything about it to the ladies who were with me. It was just all in my heart, you know. But I was really thinking about it for the next 24 hours, especially. I'm still thinking on it. But for the next few hours, I was really meditating on it. Because whenever God speaks to you in your heart, it's good to stay there. We try to get away from it fast, and sometimes we just need to stay where we are, you know? And so I was thinking about it and thinking about it. And the next day, I'm in my office, and I turn on a message online that I wanted to listen to, and I click on the message, and it was Bill Johnson from Bethel out in California. And the name of the message was Find Your Song. It was a great message, but it really wasn't about what I'm about to tell you. It was just in the beginning he talked about this, and he said, you know, I forget how he worded it exactly. He's so much better with words than I am. But he said something to the effect of, some of us are just looking for pressure relief instead of God's will. He said, we just want the pain to stop. We don't look to God and his will. Instead, we're just looking for the quickest way out. And I was like, okay, that sounds familiar to what I just heard yesterday. Isn't God kind that he would tell us something in two different ways in a 24-hour period? That's very kind of him, really. It's so kind and full of mercy. And so I was thinking about that, and as I was thinking about it, my mind went to the story in Exodus. You can turn there if you want. To Exodus, first I'm going to look at Exodus 3. We don't have it on the screen. Hopefully you have your Bible. If you don't have your hard copy Bible, you might have it on your phone, your smartphone. Exodus 3 says this. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Wow, I need some stronger glasses. Whew. He led the flock far into the wilderness. Let that phrase sink in. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire in the middle of a bush. Most of you know the story when God appeared in a burning bush. But what I found interesting was that he was far into the desert, far into the wilderness. But then if you skip down to verse 12, after God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and set my people free. I've heard their cries. I've heard their suffering. I want you to take them out of bondage. I don't know why this has never struck me before. I mean, I think it has because I have it underlined in my Bible, but it struck me new yesterday when I was reading this. He said, God answered, because Moses is like, ah, God, I can't do this. How can I do this? What do you mean you want me to do this? You know, have you ever done that with God before? I don't want to do this. I'm scared. God answered, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. Now listen to this sign. This is what never struck me. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. Maybe some of you are more, I don't know. The very place where Moses was out in the middle of the wilderness hiding from everything, hiding from the royal family he grew up in, hiding from his own people who were enslaved, the very place where God appeared to him, he said, once you do what I'm asking you to do, you're gonna meet me here on the same spot, and all together, you're gonna worship me here. And you know what struck me? We have to be willing to go to a hard place alone with God before we can expect to take anybody else there. We have to be willing to find God in the most uncomfortable environment, in the valleys, in the deserts. And once we find God there, people in our lives are going to follow us, and we're going to worship there in the same spot together. And then I began thinking about how when the children of Israel did come out of Egypt, and most of you know, God would lead them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And it's interesting to me that he chose those two elements because in a desert where they were, in the middle of the day, what you desperately need is shade. And so he became a cloud. And at night, it gets very cold, and what you need at night is warmth. And so he became a fire at night. But here's the interesting part. Here's what I felt like he spoke to me today, or this week, about trying to scramble to get out of the deserts. They only moved when he moved. When he wasn't moving, they stayed put. Some of us, we get way ahead, and we try to get ahead of God and pull ahead. I'm ready to get out of this desert. I'm ready to get out of this valley. And we're missing some of his most beautiful blooms and his most refreshing rivers because we're trying to get out ahead of him. And he's saying, be still. Don't move until you see me move. Don't move until you see me move. But it's kind of funny because if you look over in chapter 14, verse 13, he's pulled them out now, and they're between a rock and a hard place. They have the Red Sea on one side and the Egyptian army chasing them down from behind. Oh, wait, before we get to that, go back to chapter 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if my people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. So God led them to the Red Sea. Why? Because he said, they better figure out how to battle the elements before they are ready to battle the enemy. Right? And they weren't ready to battle the enemy. So he said, I'm going to lead them in a roundabout way. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm all about the shortest distance between two points. I love the shortest distance between two points. You know, I love that. How do I get to A, from A to B? Bring it on and I'll do it. If it's hard, I'll do it. If it's easy, I'll do it. Just show me the quickest route from A to B. And God doesn't work like that. Sometimes he takes you in a desert in a roundabout way. And we're just looking for the shortest distance between two points. And it's his love, you see. It's his love that takes us in a roundabout way. It's his mercy. He says, they're not ready for what's on the other side of this valley yet, so I'm going to let them go through the valley for a little while until they learn how to keep their eyes on me and only move when I move and only go when I say go. And then once they really figure that out, then they're going to be ready to face what's on the other side of the valley. And it might be another valley. Sometimes it is. But whatever it is, God loves us enough to take us the route that is best for us. So they get to between a rock and a hard place. They have the Red Sea in front of them, and the Egyptian army behind them. And they're like, ah! Like most of us would be doing. Ah, what do we do now, right? Verse 13, but Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. But then the ironic part of that is the very next verse. Verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And then the movie, The Ten Commandments, steps in your mind and you see the waters. Right? Moses 1 minute said, stand still and watch the Lord deliver us. And then in the next second, it seems, God says, now here's the thing though about the Bible. It doesn't say, what was that? Was it SpongeBob that would say, 7 minutes later? Is that the show? I can't remember. Is that who it was? Yeah, I haven't watched it in so long. 3 minutes or 21 days later. And you know, it has that. We don't have that in the Bible. Sometimes I wish we did because we don't know how much time elapsed between those two verses. And I've actually heard pastors preach that Moses missed it there, that he should have gotten going, and so God was scolding him for not going. I don't believe that. I believe Moses said, I am not moving until I hear from you. Because later on he says, I'm not leaving this place unless you go with us. Even if you promise success, I'm not going till you promise you're going to be with me. But we don't know how much time elapsed between those two verses. There are times in our lives when God says, stand still. And then there are times when God says, okay, get moving. And you know what the cool part is? The cloud moved from in front of them to behind them. I love that. Between them and their army. Between them and their enemy. And then, of course, they took off. So I was processing that and thinking about it, and I feel like that's for somebody. It was definitely for me. And they play the pre-service video this morning, Hillsong United, called Stay and Wait. And I look up on the screen, and here are the lyrics that are on the screen. Heart on your heart, and my eyes on yours. If you're in a desert today, or if you're in a valley, stop looking for pressure relief and make up your mind to set your heart on his heart and his eyes on your eyes on his eyes. You can't go wrong. He'll tell you when to stay still. He'll tell you when to move. It's not a guarantee of pressure relief. It's just not. I had two strange things happen this week. I don't know if it happened to Dave or not. We live in the same neighborhood. Our garbage didn't get picked up on Monday. Now, I've lived there 3.5 years, and they've never missed our garbage. So I thought, maybe they're just running behind or something happened with one of the trucks. And so Tuesday came and I figured they would pick it up on Tuesday. And Tuesday came and no one came. So late in the afternoon, I called the company and I go, hey, did you guys know the garbage didn't get picked up this week? It's kind of starting to stink because it's hot out there and the garbage is rotting, you know, and it's bad. You walk by, you're like, whoa. I call, they go, really? We didn't know that. So they brought a truck out Wednesday and they picked it up. Okay, that's kind of weird, but whatever. And then Friday, the mailbox beside mine had the flag up early in the morning, so I thought I'll watch their flag to see when the mail comes. Do you ever do that? Because we have a group of mailboxes. And so it's really easy. There's a big group of them. And so all day Friday, the flag stayed up. No mail. Kept checking, no mail. Mail never was delivered at all. Didn't come. I know, weird, isn't it? That's never happened in my life, I don't think. So Saturday morning, I called the post office and I say, hey, we never had mail delivery yesterday. What's up? You know, I said, I just want to make sure we're getting mail. Oh, and the guy was so funny. He's like, take one day off and the whole place falls apart. I go, yeah, that's how important you are. I'm sorry. That's rough, you know. We were laughing and having fun. And then he goes, well, let me go check. Took my address. He went back and checked and he said, well, you definitely have mail. I go, I know. I get mail every day, even if it's junk. I get mail every day. The days when I get junk, I'm like, hallelujah, no bills. Right? So he goes, well, you definitely have mail. You'll get it today. Nope, no mail. I almost feel like God was using those two really strange things in 1 week. Did you get mail yesterday, Dave? Late. We never got it. They missed us again. God was using those two things to drill into me. Sometimes you just gotta wait. Sometimes you just gotta wait. Now, I could have driven down to the post office and thrown a fit on Saturday morning. I want my mail, give it to me now. Sometimes you just gotta wait. Relax. When God wants you to get it, you'll get it. Relax. Relax. Set your heart on His heart and your eyes on His eyes. He'll tell you when to move. He'll tell you when to stay. Stop looking for pressure relief. Look for God's will. Now, is there someone else here who wants to share something? A testimony, a God story, something that's happened in your life this week, or maybe just something He's been speaking to you like He's been speaking to me this week. Anything on anybody's heart that you want to share with the fam? Okay, come on up, Joyce. Well, wait till you get the microphone so people can hear you, okay?
And I hope this is an encouragement. She really needed a job very badly. They have 4 children, and they're getting towards driving. And somebody asked me, how did you learn to pray so much? And I said, I had 3 kids who learned how to drive. That does it right there. Yeah. But they needed money very, very, very badly. And they chose for her to spend a lot of money getting her teaching certificate back up. Well, every time she would hear of a job, that principal would say, take this class and it's your job. And then somebody else in within the system would say, no, I want it. All right, so they have bills up to here, and they chose to give up all of their credit cards. And this past summer, they didn't know how they were going to eat. Now, everybody knows our gardens failed this past summer. Their garden was a jungle.
Wow.
And they lived off of it literally all summer.
Wow.
Came school time, and she still did not have a job. Well, she had taken a job in the spring at Deborah's in Chardon, worked one day, met a lady, and said, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. I know the Lord doesn't want me here. This lady that she met was 2 weeks ago on Monday out with a friend, and the friend said, we just lost our teacher for math for 6th grade. Do you know a good teacher? She said, yes, I know of a gal. She seems to be good. I've never been with her. However, here's her name and phone number. This lady did not know Sarah. Sarah had never met anybody in the school system, never put out a resume, and if you know about teaching, teachers are a dime a dozen. And in the process, she gets a phone call that very same day from Orwell School System and said, could you come in for an interview? And she went, how'd you get my name? And they told her. She's okay. She wasn't home 10 minutes from the interview, and she got a phone call, can you come in for a second interview? And she said, okay. So she goes in for the second interview. Before she got home from the second interview, a principal she had had for long term texted her and said, can't talk to you, I'm on the clock, but I just got a phone call asking for references on you, and I made you sound like a queen. And she said, thank you. So she's no more home, and the phone rings, and it's the superintendent from Orwell, and says, how devoted are you to the place where you had your long-term subbing? And she said, well, why? And he says, because I just called them for references, and the man was about to pick up the phone and call and offer you a full-time job. Are you interested in them or us? And she said, well, I think I'm being pulled in your direction. Meanwhile, he says, now, is this just temporary or is this permanent? And she said, I suspected where I landed, I would land and stay. And he said, because the principal I called wants you for next year and already has a position open for you.
Wow.
And Sarah put on the internet, God works in mysterious ways.
He does. Wow. That is a great story. Wow. 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 She went from no jobs to two jobs like that. That's what I mean. God can show you so clearly. You just wait. I'm not saying don't put resumes out. So that didn't. That's what worked for her. But, you know, God moves in mysterious ways. Do what he tells you to do. Get moving when he says to get moving. And be still when he says to be still. It works. And it's so much more peaceful. Our stress would go down so much. I heard a report this week that stress, they've actually scientifically proven that stress is contagious. How many of you believe it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, it's scientifically, all they had to do was show pictures to a subject hooked up to wires, and if stressful pictures or sounds came up, they would become stressed out. And what does that tell you? If we, the people of God, are walking around stressed out because we're wanting to move when he says sit still, and we're wanting to sit still when he says to move, then we are spreading stress to everybody around us. We are contagious with stress. And if we just chill, relax, relax and let God lead you. Anybody else? John?
I just wanted to share real quick. I know a lot of you have been praying and stuff for me the last couple of years, but the last 2-3 years I've been through the real ringer of, long story short, just stuck in anxiety and depression and kind of just no way out through medication, through my doctor. And it's been a long 2.5-3 years. And just in recent weeks, he's finally lifted it all, and I've been healed and brought from darkness to light. So. I just want to thank you for all your prayers, because I know being in the desert, what it's like when you don't feel God, and when it's time to move, he moves, and he's faithful. So I just want to thank you, everybody, for their prayers.
Amen. Amen. Wow. John, we were in the desert with you. I mean, we were with you. Sometimes the best you can hope for is to have God and somebody who loves God alongside of you. That's the best you can hope for. It doesn't mean it's any less hot in the desert. Doesn't mean it's any less dry or any less painful. But just knowing God is with you, like he promised Moses, I will be with you. And knowing somebody else is with you. Colleen was with you. And now it's all of our victory. It's your victory, but it's all of our victory too. And we share it with you. We share it with you. You are a living testimony that God does bring people through horrible deserts. He does. But there's big fruit on the other side. Big fruit. Big fruit. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Ron. You're not exempt because you're in the sound booth.
After Sandy's message about waiting, thought I ought to share this. But what most of you don't know is for 19 years I was a school teacher. 25 years ago, I worked summers at a chemical plant. And then I took a sabbatical, worked there full time. I went from maintenance to working on computers and all that stuff. And during that year of sabbatical, but this is nice, much less stressful than teaching. I'd like to do this. So I had this wrestle, should I quit teaching and try to get a job with this company? And, you know, it was like, do I ask, and shouldn't I, you know, teaching is secure, you know, always going to have a job because I always need teachers. This could fall apart, you know, and I got a family to worry about. So at the time, I'm traveling back and forth to Cleveland. We lived in Pennsylvania at the time, and I did a lot of work at the company headquarters. And I'm headed back one time, and I usually listen to the radio and so on, and I'm wrestling with this. And I thought, okay, God, you and I are going to have this out on this trip. I got a 2.5-hour ride, turned the radio off. God, I'm listening. You tell me what I should do. 2.5 hours of silence, except for one word, abide. I'm like, what's that mean? You know, abide, okay? So I kept my mouth shut. I didn't go ask him for a job there or anything. I think a month went by. Was at the coffee pot getting a cup of coffee. The plant manager come in. And he said, hey, Ron, how you doing? I said, okay. He said, what you going to do in September? Are you going to go back to teaching or are you going to come work for us? I said, make me an offer. And he stepped up and he said, you're serious, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. He said, big decision. Can't talk today. Great. Mm-hmm.
Abide,
yeah. That was a Thursday. Friday was a busy day, didn't do it. Before he left, he said, I'm golfing with the president this weekend. Are you still serious? I said, yes, I am. Okay. Monday morning, he comes in, shakes my hand, says, welcome aboard.
Wow.
Now, all of that to say, sometimes he just says, abide. Trust me. I got this worked out. Mm-hmm. Hang in there. Yeah. Keep doing your job. Mm-hmm. Trust me.
Yeah.
So I think that's for somebody that's wrestling with a decision and God is saying, abide. Or like you said, stand firm.
Yeah.
I'll tell you when to move.
Yeah, that's good. Clap. I can't clap with a microphone. All right, Dave.
So I just wanted to read this scripture out of Isaiah, chapter 30, starting at verse 15. As usual, the children of Israel were surrounded by enemies. Mm-hmm. And it says, for thus saith the Lord, God, the Holy One of Israel. So this is for all of you, but for some of you, I think it's going to speak to you a little deeper. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength.
That's right. In quietness and confidence will be your strength. That's what have been one of my treasured personal favorites for a lot of my life. And my sister and I, well, probably for the last 8 or 9 years especially, my sister and I were in Amish country over in Burton last summer. And I look up and there's this beautiful painting of this tree on the side of a hill and it has that verse. And I was like, oh, I have never seen that verse in anywhere publicly. And quietness and confidence is your strength. Quietness and confidence. Thank you, Dave.
So I'm not really.
So still on? Okay. Sorry, Jerry. So I'm not really sure where I'm supposed to start with this. But I think from the last 4 or 5 weeks, has it been? Something like for the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've actually been interviewing with a company down in Brentwood, Tennessee. It's actually the Dave Ramsey organization. Essentially, I've been kind of wrestling with this, and I've been doing the same thing that Ron was doing. Like, you know, I have a 45-minute job, drive to work and stuff, and I've been just kind of like, God, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Kind of thing. And the job was to become part of their technical team. It would have been it's a great position. It comes with a pay raise, obviously part of a Christian organization, and there's no snow, and it's only floods, and it's like Music City, so it was like, you know, great for the family and stuff. So, but we'd kind of been talking about it and praying about it, and I've been stressing myself out about it, mainly because the company, it was like they have a really long interview process. It's 5 or 6 weeks. It's like interviews with every single level in the company: recruiter, team leader, co-members of the team, cross-functional team members, executive vice president, all the way up. And essentially on Thursday, Friday last week, I had an interview, video interview with them, and they effectively offered me the job. They just said, yeah, we'll offer you the job. And they didn't have a problem with the salary range or anything. It would have been a nice boost in pay for me. They have a great benefits program. I probably should just sell for them, I think. But we've been kind of, you know, just wrestling with it. And it's funny, like everything you've been talking about, this whole like, you know, stay, don't move unless you're told to go type of thing. Yeah. Meg and Rhonda, and they were talking. I was like, did you guys talk with Sandy?
No, they didn't.
Did you guys plan this with Sandy? No. But we talked about it last night, and I'd been having a hard time because going through an interview process, if you're successful in every stage, you get, there's like a really nice like ego pat on that. Like, they really want me.
Yeah.
I'm worth it.
I'm special.
L'Oreal. Yeah. Like, you know, you just kind of feel like you get pumped up by it. And then you start looking at, like Meg was telling me last night, she said, you know, you're starting to look at your current job in a really negative light, because there's a big carrot kind of being dangled in front of you. You should really just talk. I should. No, okay. All right. So, but anyway, like, I hadn't heard anything from God. I hadn't heard abide. I hadn't heard stay. I hadn't heard go or anything. It was just like nothing. So I'm staying. Okay. I'm not going to Brentwood, Tennessee. I haven't told them yet. So I'm not going.
I'm glad. I couldn't unselfishly pray for you to go. Sorry. I would just be like, God, you know, I don't want them to go. So just.
That's not a lot, but I just wanted to add that I obviously had been praying this whole time. Kind of like, what are you doing interviewing for a job in Nashville? Like, no, I am not leaving. So I had to selfishly put that aside, you know, because of how much I love my family, and everybody.
And your pastor.
And my pastor. Oh my, gosh. And I really had to like change my focus from, no, I can't leave my family, to like, God, what is it that you want?
God's will.
Because, it's way more important. Yeah. And I felt like God was just saying to me, it's not your time yet. And I was really scared to tell Raj because I thought he was just going to, like, be like, well, that's because you don't want to leave your family. But, like, God provided the time for us to talk, which is hard right now. But he provided the time for us to talk and eventually be in agreement about it.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, he's saying, it's not your time yet, wait. And he didn't say anything to you, but but that, you know, that it's okay being in agreement with the Lord and what he's saying.
Yeah.
So.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just a third part of that. Doug and I, a long time ago, I thought about going to Bible school and taking our family and going to Bible school and going, you know, wherever God said. And we conferred with a missionary that we just really respected, and he said, He's a missionary. He wants people on the mission field, right? He said, Rhonda, unless you hear a go from God, just wait.
Yeah.
It was the best advice we ever got.
That's good.
And he also, I don't know if he said that, but sometimes God sends, or not God, excuse me, sometimes counterfeits come first. Because you're not going to take a counterfeit after you get the real thing.
Yeah.
So if you're somebody that's, you know, waiting on something, and you're tempted to just like take it, just wait until you hear that go from God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really good. Isn't it good to hear from other people than just me or just Dave? I mean, it's good to hear from people in the body who are walking the same road that the rest of us are walking. It's good. All of us are ministers, not just me and Dave. We're all ministers. That's what the Bible says. You're a minister. Okay, one more thing I'm going to share if nobody else has anything else. Well, not the last thing, but another thing I heard this week that really spoke to me and I feel like I'm supposed to share it is this, in a short. I heard a message by Christine Kane from Australia. Some of you are familiar with her. And she said this one line, and it kind of blew me away a little bit. So I'm just going to give you that to ruminate on, and you can write it down if you want because it's so short. She said this. She said, until you make what God has done for you bigger than what anyone has done to you, you're never going to be free. Until you make what God has done for you bigger than anything anybody has ever done to you, you're not going to be free. So if you're struggling today with being offended or being hurt, being wounded, I'm not saying remove that. I'm saying make what Jesus has done for you bigger than that. And then you will have freedom. Take it from someone who knows. Take it from someone who knows. Until you make what God has done for you bigger, higher, whatever, than what anyone has ever done to you, you won't be free. But I know you're going to be free, so I'm going to say it this way. When you make God bigger than what anyone has done to you, you will be free. Amen? What time is it? I'm so clueless. What time is it? 11:52? We have time. I want to play this song for you on a video. It's called Overcomer by Mandisa, and it goes along with what we're talking about. And so I just want to share it with you, and then we'll have Ken come up and do the benediction. All right?
Drive by T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope.
Okay, I had to get up, of course. I just need real quick to tell all of you about what happened to me. That song was so special to me a year and a half ago when I was at one of my chaplaincy conferences. And I was given the stage that night for a testimony. I had no idea I had cancer. And I got up and I was telling people about my childhood and my life and how I had become an overcomer because I was off drugs, I was in a church, I was happy, I was helping people. And that one of the guys that was there found a way, because I didn't have a CD, but he found a way to put it on the microphone while we were there, I mean on the speakers. So I'm on the stage like this, don't know one word from another, just overcomer. And I'm thinking there's thousands of people, well, hundreds of people here, mostly from black choirs, which we all know they're the best singers, I swear. Did I stop to think all week to ask them to learn the words? But the point is, it was my song. And within 3 weeks of that, I found out I had stage 3A cancer in my lung. And to this day, I know that made so much of a difference in my attitude, in my healing. And I just want to tell you, put it on your radio, put it on the CD on, because it can't hurt anything. It saved my life, besides God saved my life. Yeah.